Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast with Essan Koman, Head of Emerging Markets Research, EMEA. It's Friday, May 14th, 2021, and this week we're looking at emerging markets EMEA growth. The following podcast is intended for professional investors and eligible counterparties only, and not for retail clients. Any content should not be regarded as an offer to conduct investment business or an investment recommendation, but for information purposes only. So Essan, we're discussing the economic prospects of emerging markets across EMEA's strong resilience. Can you provide context to our listeners?
Thanks, Ona. So yes, economic growth data across emerging markets in the EMEA region is printing at resilient levels, which plays into our constructive bullish thesis for this year. So some context, the pandemic reached its worst point in the majority of emerging markets across EMEA in the first quarter of this year. And we had the virus-related cases and deaths, in fact, at the highest levels across the region's northern hemisphere, particularly in the central and eastern European countries. So places like Czech Republic, Poland, Hungary, and Romania. And they forced governments to reintroduce lockdown restrictions in these economies, as well as several others. And the largest incremental rises in the Oxford University stringent lockdown index in the first quarter of this year was in fact recorded in Czech Republic, Hungary, as well as in Lebanon, which reflected the severity of COVID-19 in those countries. Now, having said that, and despite the seriousness of the virus situation in Q1, the incremental tightening in physical distancing measures was much more limited than it was during the first wave in the spring of last year, which was very draconian in scale and magnitude indeed. Now, with this in mind, the economic output across the region has remained remarkably resilient through the first few months of 2021, with high-frequency mobility indicators rising despite COVID-19 cases also rising in tandem. And we believe this resilience is fundamentally for two reasons. First, relative to the first wave in March, April last year, the incremental tightening in physical distancing measures, as captured by lockdown indices, has been much more limited. In fact, it has risen only slightly in Central and Eastern European countries and Turkey and has declined quite sharply elsewhere. Second, economies have become better adapted to living and embracing the pandemic under lockdown restrictions in the sense that the relationship between economic activity and lockdown measures appears weaker than it did during the first wave. And beyond encouraging resilient high-frequency data, strong output is also evident in the performance of monthly economic data such as industrial production and retail sales, which are highly correlated to GDP growth. And so promising indeed, especially in places like the UAE, Saudi Arabia, Poland, and South Africa, where the strong data has been quite marked.
And building on this, Essan, you have discussed with me the significance of carryover effects. Can you elaborate on this for our listeners, please?
Sure, Ona. So yes, a further reason for the positivity this year on the growth outlook is that following a sharp sequential rebound in growth in the second half of last year, there is also an unusually large carryover base effect for annual GDP growth in 2021. That is, the extent to which the level of GDP in Q4 last year was higher than its average over 2020 as a whole. Now, with zero sequential growth throughout 2021, annual growth in places like Turkey will still be 5.6% and around 3 to 3.5% in places like Israel, Romania, and South Africa. In particular, in Turkey, we believe that GDP is likely to decline, in fact, on a sequential basis in 2021. However, elsewhere in emerging markets across the EMEA region, we expect GDP growth is likely to receive a further leg up from local as well as global vaccination programs in Q2 as well as Q3 of this year. And given such a large head start to 2021 GDP growth, the bar to surpassing consensus growth forecast for the year is relatively low. And our growth forecasts are well above consensus for the region, which we have as averaging 4.4% year on year for the region as a whole versus consensus of 3.5%.
And finally, Essan, how is the recovery playing out in relation to global reflation risks in driving emerging markets?
So, you know, while COVID-19 remains the primary driver of economic developments across emerging markets in EMEA, the pandemic is beginning to be eclipsed by global reflation risks as the primary driver of financial markets across the region and indeed the broader emerging markets complex. So higher US Treasury yields and the US dollar strength, albeit we are witnessing a reversal of the strength in the dollar lately, which combined together have placed significant pressure on EM exchange rates in recent months and contributed to a significant repricing of emerging market rate prospects. Now, the key question for the region's emerging market is how perceptions of global inflation risks are likely to evolve in the coming months. Now, given that growth and inflation appear poised to move sharply higher in the coming months, one can easily envisage reflation concerns rising further still. Now, set against this, the prospective rise in global growth and inflation has been widely telegraphed. And in our view, many emerging markets in EMEA, fixed income markets, are already pricing more rate hikes than likely to be delivered. Now, while cognizant of the risks posed by higher growth and inflation in the coming months, our rate views are more dovish somewhat than market pricing for most emerging market countries in EMEA. So just to dig a little deeper here, Ona, we had discussed a couple of months back that we see markets as broadly torn between two views of inflation, that is, two opposing implications for EM risk appetite. So first, we have the more benign reflation perspective, which puts forward the case that the global recovery will not generate inflationary concerns. And second, the more malignant reflationary version that calls put forward the case for overheating of the US economy, things like stickier inflationary pressures and elevated core rates and the associated volatility that comes with this. Now, we side with a more benign version of reflation, and we do not expect the synchronized global upturn to necessarily generate persistent demand-side inflationary pressures in the coming months. And beyond the imminent spike for reasons such as the Q2 base effects, given a sharp fall in consumer prices in Q2 of 2020 due to the height of the initial draconian lockdowns, which will fall out of the annual comparison, also higher commodity prices and an initial spurt in activity as economies reopen will only cause spikes in inflation and not persistent trends in our view that would otherwise threaten the current dovish stance of the core central banks led by the Fed. And from an EM asset perspective, this would give a further supported backdrop for EM growth assets, things like equities as well as EM effects. And the appetite is clear based on significant year-on-year inflows into EM equity funds.
Thanks very much for your insight, Ehsan. Have a good week, and we'll speak to you next week.
Thanks, Ona. Talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to this MUFG Global Markets podcast. Rate, review, and subscribe, and reach out to your MUFG sales rep for further information. Come back next week for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.